Welcome to the Southern Muzzle True podcast. This is an introduction to the podcast, and I just wanted to talk about everything. It's focused on this podcast because that is my path in Muzzle True. I'll talk about that in the next podcast, about how I got into the Muzzle True and how I got into Focus Muzzle True specifically. But right now, it's just kind of like the introduction to how I come about to make this podcast. I wanted to make a podcast because I haven't seen very many Muzzle True podcasts out there, especially of the folkish variety. So I wanted to make a podcast that was both heathen or Muzzle True centered, and also geared toward the more folkish side. I'll talk about the other parts of them, what the other Muzzle Truers seem to believe are heathens. I know you have your universalist, you have your tribalist, and you have your folkish. But these days, the universalist and tribalist don't really like the folkish. And I know why that is, but I don't see why they're like that. I guess that has a lot to do with the current political climate in the U.S. of A. But, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. One thing that I think about a lot whenever it comes to these podcasts is I wonder if the more Muzzle True focused podcast, I wonder if they just don't go on that long because these people get tired of doing podcasts. I'm not really sure why that happens. Like, you know, why there's not that very many of them out there. Of course, I'm going to do all this in one go. So, you know, expect all kinds of ums and buts and stuff like that. Especially because I'm not used to talking to a microphone. I'm definitely not used to doing a podcast. So, you know, it's a little bit different. My first experience with anything like this. My first podcast ever. And obviously my first podcast channel ever created. If you're ever wondering how the name come about, Southern Muzzle True, I live in the South. The upper South, not the deep South, but I live in the South nonetheless, and I'm on Muzzle True, which you don't see very many Muzzle Truers around here, or at least where I live. I don't know if it changes the deeper South you go or more North you go, but where I live, there's not very many of us. I know about maybe four, including myself. So, all of them are folkish, of course, because that's what my kindred is. It's a folkish kindred. But I do want to see a more Muzzle True geared movement where I live, which I think I might just start that myself. But I don't know. I guess we'll see how that goes in the future. I know I'm ranting, I'm probably going on and on, but, you know, that is the nature of the podcast. The podcast is a beautiful wild beast that you have never seen before, at least me. I've never seen it before. Never dealt with it. But I think I quite enjoy doing a podcast, get my thoughts out there, get my opinions out there. Talk about everything that's going on these days. Yeah, and plus, gives me a reason to rant. Gives me a platform to rant. For people to hear my rants, even if they don't like it. Well, I mean, if they don't like it, don't listen. But, you know, the epitome of what I'm trying to do here is just kind of gave a podcast for the folkish As True, or As True in general, really, to listen to whenever they have to go on a drive or, you know, whatever it is that they're doing, and listening to a podcast, you know. And I do like to share my opinions. I do like to share what I think. But I won't always do that. Sometimes I'll be talking about something that happened, like maybe the news or what's going on in my neck of the woods or someone else's neck of the woods, depending on what, how grave it is and what they're talking about. But I do want to be as a true focus. I don't really want to be, you know, news focused or something. Just as true. Because, oh, that's the reason why I created this podcast in general. But, yeah. I guess the best idea I've had was either this or the blog I'm doing. Which both I'm very new to. I'm not very experienced in podcast or blogging or the majority of things that I'm doing. I'm actually quite new to them, but I hope that you'll enjoy this anyways. Even though I know it's very amateurish and probably seems a little bit ranty, probably drones on. But I hope you'll at least enjoy a little bit of the content that's in this podcast. The next podcast I'm probably going to either write a script for, or I'll just have to get better talking while I'm on the go, I guess. But the next thing I do want to talk about is how folkish As True is viewed and why I think that it is viewed in a bad light and how we can fix that. Because I don't think folkish As True is like the, you know, monster in the closet that everyone thinks it is or seems to think it is that I've read and seen. At least to me. Because to me, I see it as a very loving thing, really. And the reason why I see it as a loving thing is because you love your people, you love your ancestors, and you love the people in your kindred and, you know, abroad, other than that. Now, I guess I'm going to touch on it here, I guess. That seems to be where this is going. I'm going to touch up on it anyways. But I know that the reason why the universalist and the tribalists don't like the folkish is because universalists want everyone in, no matter color, creed, you know, what have you. And the tribalists, they just will welcome anyone in. They seem to be more on a universalist tone anymore. They used to be more on a folkish tone, to where they wanted it to be people with the blood of the gods in them, or people who had European ancestors, which that's what the folkish believe, is that, you know, whenever you're on the folkish path, generally you will see all the folkish kindreds with European peoples participating in them, mostly. I've known some folkish to let other people, other tribes get intermarry, you know. I guess you could subvert that and say, well, mate, races and stuff like that, because that's what you hear them called as a lot. But, you know, sometimes I've seen where a folkish tribe will let another race marry into their tribe. It doesn't happen often, but that's kind of the thing people have against the folkish As Truers, is that they think that they're racist. Well, that's not it at all, actually. I'm the furthest from being racist, and I am a folkish As True. And the reason why I say I'm not racist, even though I know the universalists and some tribalists will be like, you're focused, you gotta be racist. That's not true, though. The whole reason for the folkish is that, you know, we believe that Ozatru is a native European spirituality, much like the Native American spirituality. You know, you only let your people in to that spirituality. Only your people are allowed to be in it. Like if you went to, say, the Navajo Nation, which is a Native American tribe, and you ask them to become part of their tribe and part of their, I guess you could say, Native spirituality, the first thing they'll say is, are you at least 25% Native American? And if you say, no, I'm like maybe 1%, they won't let you in. Unless you marry into it, of course. But other than that, they won't let you in. And that's the way the folkish see it, is that, you know, you can marry into it. As far as I've read, you know, they believe you can marry into it, but they mostly want to keep it amongst their people. Now, people say this is a racist view. I don't think so, personally. I think it is just a normal view. I believe it's what our ancestors viewed it as, because all the sources I've read, at least, seem to, you know, support the our ancestors believing this, you know, being this way. Like whenever I read Tacitus Germania, the first thing I read, or really the first thing anyone will read, I guess, is that when he's talking about the Germanic peoples, how they wouldn't let any other people, any other peoples, into their tribes unless they were married into it. But even then, he talked about how the Germanic peoples, or the Germanic tribes, would not even intermarry into different races or tribes, for the most part. And that right there, to me, tells me, well, you know, being folkish is what your ancestors would have been, because my ancestors are from, you know, mostly Germany, a little bit in England later on, because, well, you know, the Anglo-Saxons. Because of them, well, it's more like the Saxons and the Anglos, who then intermarry or intermixed and become the Anglo-Saxons. Yeah. Other than that. But the reason why I see folkish as not being racist is because you can ask any folkish Ozatruer and they would probably say that they support people going by their ancestors and going by their own native spirituality. Like, say, African Americans, or just what do they call it now? People of color, I guess. Now, you used to be able to call them black people, but with the current political climate, some of them accept that, some of them don't. I don't really know. I have one or two friends that prefer to be called people of color, and I have a few other friends that prefer to be called black. So it's kind of like a mixed bag whenever it comes to that. But anyways, whenever it comes to, I'm just going to say black people, because I really shouldn't be tiptoeing around it, you know, trying not to offend people, because, well, everyone's offended anymore, especially in the U.S. They always get offended about everything. I don't know why. No, I guess they just got sensitive feelings, I guess. I don't know what the cause of that is. But anyways, black people, they have their own native spirituality. They have their own gods and goddesses. And it is in many folkish people's mind that they should honor their ancestors and follow their gods and goddesses because that's who they'll resonate more with. I mean, we're not saying that they can't come into Ozdru. They can if they want. But, you know, thing is that will they resonate with Ozdru as much as they would their own native spirituality or their own ancestors? Because, I mean, I guess you could honor your ancestors being in Ozdru if you're black. But, you know, I don't know how their ancestors would really look at that because, you know, it's not really a native spirituality of theirs. I'd say it seemed quite foreign to them, but that's only kind of like my opinion on it. And I think it's a lot of people's opinion on it. I don't see that as being racist at all. It's more of a, I care enough about them to point them in the direction that their ancestors would have believed in because it would empower them more. You know, you want to empower people. You don't want to disempower them. Especially whenever it comes to their native spiritualities. As you see, a spirituality is empowering. It gives you all kinds of power to, you know, go through your life. It gives you a lot of things. It makes you stronger. But it is in my opinion that if you go into a different spirituality that is not of your ancestors, then it will disempower you. You know, it won't make you as strong as your own native spirituality would be. And I see this with Christianity and Islam, most importantly. Because, well, that and Judaism. But Judaism is more folkish, you know. They tend to want to keep only Jews in Judaism. But you do have your other, I guess, Jewish sects, much like you have your different heathen sects, where they would welcome anyone. And I think that's a bad thing because of the fact that the people they welcome in are cut off from their ancestors and their own native spirituality. And I don't think that's a good thing. I think it's more racist to cut off someone from their own ancestors and native spirituality than it is to just point them in the direction of it. That's kind of the way I view it. Because whenever you think about it, you cut off someone from their ancestors, what do they have to identify with? Who do they have to come to whenever they're in times of need? You know. And, you know, your ancestors are always there. Don't get me wrong. But the question is, would their ancestors, you know, give them good luck for those things? And whenever I say luck, I mean, will they answer to you if you're in a different spirituality than what your native one is? And I kind of wonder about that because I really don't know. I don't know the answers to many of this. I'm just going on pulling the rabbit out of my ass, I guess, as they say. But, you know, I'm just kind of ranting on, I suppose, now. But at the same time, you know, you have all these different spiritualities out there. You know, how will people know? Well, I mean, you have many different European spiritualities. You have Ozdru, you have the Celtic tradition, you have the Greek tradition, you have the Roman tradition. You know, you have all kinds of different native spiritualities. And the same is said for Africa, you know. you go into Africa, there's many different tribes. Each one of them likely has a different spirituality. And I think any of those spiritualities are good for, you know, the people that live there. Same thing for Europeans. You know, you put a European into a African native spirituality, which would be really hard. You'd have to marry into it because many of the African tribes in Africa will not allow white people into their tribe unless they marry into it, and even then they probably won't. they probably won't even let them marry into it, actually. But just for the argument's sake, I suppose, if you did that, it would kind of disempower the European man, because he wouldn't necessarily have a direct lineage to his ancestors. He'd be making a new lineage. He'd be, whenever he becomes an ancestor, then he's the only ancestor that looks favorably upon that native spirituality whenever it comes to his children or grandchildren. And I see this the same in Europeans, you know. In Ozatru, you have your, I guess, pagan or heathen ancestors way back in the day that would look favorably upon the Ozatruers. But you also have those Christian ancestors that would definitely not look down, would definitely not look favorably upon it. So, you know, pick and choose, I suppose. But I see Christianity as disempowering everyone, because the only people it can empower are really Jewish people, because that's where it come from. It came out of Judaism, Christianity did. And so it really disempowers a lot of people, I think, because they are very universalist. They want everyone to come into it, you know, kind of like the universalist heathens. I see universalist heathenry or universalist as true as being just as disempowering as Christianity for, well, you know, people of color or, you know, just people of different races, because of the fact that you're taking away their ancestors. Well, not really taking away their ancestors. You're more or less letting them in, but will their ancestors look favorably upon that? Is what I'm trying to say. Now, I guess it would really be up to their ancestors. As much as it would be up to the European ancestors on whether it would be looked upon favorably for a European man to be practicing, say, voodoo or something like that. Even though that would be very impossible because of the fact that even the voodooist in Haiti would not allow white people to practice their spirituality, because it is a folkish spirituality. It's centered around their people. And that's not a bad thing. I really don't see it as being a bad thing. I quite enjoy the fact that people are like that. You know, that's just the natural way of being. Because when you look at human nature, humans are tribal by nature. Now, people take that in many different ways, and they take that in, like, so many different ways, no one can think straight about it. But, you know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and he doesn't mind being called black, but his ancestors were from Haiti. Even though he doesn't know what he is right now, he doesn't know if he's a Christian or if he wants to be a voodooist, or he's even talked about becoming going into the Greek tradition. And you know, I told him, I was like, well, why would you like to go into the Greek tradition? Because I was curious. And he was telling me that it was because he wanted to honor his ancestors. And also he wanted to find a type of heathenry or paganism that wasn't Christianity at the time. And I told him, I'm like, well, if you want to honor your ancestors, and your ancestors are from Haiti, why not just become a voodooist? Even though I know that the voodooists believe that there is one supreme creator, just like Christians do. But that is, from what I've seen, that's a lot of African native traditions. You can look at some different ones, because there are some native African traditions where they got multiple gods and goddesses, just like, you know, the Europeans and a few others. Of course, there are those Europeans, such as the Slavics, who only have, it's arguably either two gods or one, because you know, some of the Slavic people say it's only one god, and the two gods are only kind of like his good and bad side, I suppose. It has two different names, so. But I guess you could kind of look at it like that, you know. Monotheism is a thing. It does happen. Natively, sometimes. But with voodooist, this is the case, that it is just a native monotheistic spirituality. However, it focuses more on the on their ancestors, on the spirits, and on a few other things that I cannot really remember to name. And I told him, like, well, why don't you become a voodooist? You know, practice what your ancestors had and honor them in that way, because they would probably resonate better with that. And he gave us some thought. I don't know if he ever decided to do that or not, but he gave us some thought. I'll probably talk to him about it one day, see what he decided on that, because I find it very interesting, you know. And plus, I would love to see him be empowered, because he's going through a rough time in his life right now, and I would love to see him become stronger, become empowered, you know, so that way he can, you know, do the things he's set out and wanted to do. Because, I mean, he's good. He's a great man. He really is. He just doesn't know what he wants to be right now, I suppose. And ain't nothing wrong with that. I would never fault someone for that. But, yeah. So I told him about it. And I kind of hope that he takes it up, because of the fact that I do want to see him empowered by his ancestors and see him empowered by his own spirituality. I see that as a more loving thing to do, because I do care a great deal about these people. And, you know, at least these people that are in my life, because I don't know very many others outside of that. But I care a lot. And I care a lot about my people. I care a lot about all the peoples on this earth. I would love to see all of the peoples on this earth empowered by their own native spirituality. I guess that kind of comes down to diversity is our strength. And I'm talking about real diversity, not fake diversity. Because real diversity is a lot like a box of crayons. You take the crayons and you pour them out all over the table. And you have many different colors of these crayons. But each color is separate from the other color. However, they all associate with one another. That is diversity. The diversity that people are pushing these days is like taking all those crayons, melting them down into one giant crayon that's all the colors. Now, that's not diversity. That is destroying diversity, in fact. Now, whenever people say diversity is our strength, they're not wrong. Diversity is most definitely our strength. But it's not our strength when we take diversity and destroy it to make one new thing. Because when you take two different things and then you make one new thing, you destroy both the others. So you destroy your diversity when you do that. I guess it could be seen this way for race mixing as well. I know people don't talk about that anymore. They used to back in the day. You know, a lot of my ancestors probably talked about this extensively, I'd say. But it's like this. You take one race and you take another race and they mix. You have a new race. Both of these races over here are destroyed whenever you made the new race. So you're really destroying diversity when you're doing that. And I can't support that. I cannot support destroying two different peoples to make a new people. I just don't see that as a good thing. I see that as being hate-filled. But of course, that's just me. This podcast is getting kind of long, so I guess I'll cut it right there. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I hope you didn't sit there and be like, oh, he's a racist asshole, which I'm sure many people probably will. You know, it's just the nature of public speaking, I suppose, especially when you share your opinions with people. But I hope you didn't hate it too much, those people who probably think I'm a racist. I hope you didn't hate me too much. Just know that I care about you too, even though you probably want me dead. A lot of people probably want me dead. Whenever I talk about my own opinions on these things. But, you know, I do look forward to making more podcasts. I look forward to interacting more with all the people that listen to this podcast. But yeah, thank y'all for listening. And y'all have a good day.